Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to another episode of Dogman Radio. This is Scott Eklund, and I'm joined by a very special guest, 24/7's Greg Biggins. Greg, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, Scott, anything for you. Let's go. I'm excited to talk to you.
thanks for joining me for the second time. For those who don't know, we recorded this earlier, and must have been user error because it wasn't recorded. This one we know is recording, so we'll just move forward. But Greg, just wanted to kind of go through, big change for the Washington Husky football program, and Kalen DeBoer left to go to Alabama. So Jed Fish is the new head coach. He's brought in several assistants, hasn't quite filled out his staff yet. And the first thing I really wanted to kick off with you and maybe just kind of get us started, and I think a lot of Husky fans have heard that Jed Fish is a really good recruiter, but they want to know why he's seen as such a good recruiter. So Jed Fish as a head coach recruiter, can you kind of give us an idea of what we can expect from him on the recruiting trail?
No, he's very active. And, you know, a lot of head coaches don't want to get involved or they want to just be kind of the closer, right? Who they'll, you know, let the leg work go to the assistant coaches, whether that be the position or the area coach, and then he'll come in late, do the home visit, maybe try to close the kid. Jed's active from the very beginning. You know, I almost get the sense he kind of actually likes recruiting. He kind of likes the chase. You talk to kids and they always say, hey, I'm talking to, like, you know, this guy, and then you always hear Jed Fish. You know, Jed's personally involved, and that's huge for kids. You know, it's a big deal when the head coach takes time out. So, you know, very dynamic personality. He's a motivator. He's very comfortable in any kind of setting, whether he's talking to, you know, a kid, a mom or a dad, a handler, a high school coach. It doesn't matter who, you know, you throw him in any situation, and he's very good. You know, like I said, he's gifted in the area of being able to communicate. He's got a plan, and he follows it. And so what I saw him do in Arizona was pretty incredible. You know, he signed two of their best classes ever, and they didn't care, you know, where the guy lived or if they were not even in his top five early on. Man, he got after it, and his staff was really good too. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do at UW.
Now you did talk about the staff. Washington has three assistant positions open. It's all going to be on the defensive side, the most notable being the defensive coordinator spot. But they brought over Brennan Carroll as their offensive coordinator, although we know Jed Fish is really the one calling plays. Sure. But Brennan Carroll is the offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. Kevin Cummings is the wide receiver coach, very well respected, has developed a lot of good guys and everything like that. Can you talk about them a little bit on the recruiting trail? I know you're not there, obviously, but just the kids that you've talked to and their feelings about the offensive coaches, Jimmy Doherty, Jordan Pau, those guys, what it's like, what the kids' reactions are to those assistants.
Yeah. No, I know all those guys really well. I mean, I told you before, like, you know, that was from the previous call.
Yeah.
You know, I covered Kevin in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how old I am. I've been doing this for so long. So I've known Kevin for a long time. Does a great job, man. He does a really good job of connecting. And I use that word. He's very engaging and connects, and he works hard at it. Receivers love him. You know, Brennan Carroll, you know, he grew up on that staff with USC was Deb Pete Carroll, who was probably one of the three or four best head coach recruiters of all time. On that staff, you had guys like Steve Sarkisian, great recruiter, Lane Kiffin, great recruiter, Ed Orgeron, Mount Rushmore, great recruiter. You know, you got your Rocky Settos, you can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
So Brendan was on those staffs. He understands, you know, what it takes and how aggressive you need to be. And if a kid says no, you don't care. You keep going after it. So that's kind of Brennan's background. Pau, just a phenomenal guy. You know, just one of those guys that you can't really, you're not going to hear anyone say anything really negative about him. Same thing with Jimmy Doherty, you know, just a really good person. So And all those guys are, you know, they're pretty young. So I don't think they view recruiting as a necessary evil, like so many old school coaches. Those guys are young, they get it, and they speak the language of the kids. They know what they want to hear. And like, again, they are, you know, they put the time and the energy in. So I'm kind of excited to see. Again, I think for me, Washington is a national program. You know, people throughout the country know who Washington is. And so you put that staff at a school like Washington, and I think they have a chance to do some really good things.
Thanks, Greg. I think that really helps with a lot of the people, you know, just wondering what kind of a recruiter Jed Fish and his staff are. And the fact is, they're, like you said, Greg, they are kind of a national brand. You know, the program just played for a national championship. They didn't win it, but they won a New Year's Six game, their first one in 23 years that they won a New Year's Six game. And they've done a lot of things. They could have the most draft choices of any college program in the country. When it's all said and done. So this staff that's going to be here, obviously that was the old staff. This staff that's going to be in here has brought, I mean, basically took Arizona from the depths of the Pac-12 and brought them up to being one of the top, what, four or five programs in the conference by the end, by the end of the conference time. So it shows to me that they can scout talent, you know, do the evaluations, and then work hard to get those guys to at least consider the school, if not choose the school.
Yeah, no, T-Mac was a no-brainer, but there's a lot of guys on that Arizona staff that weren't no-brainers. Nobody else offered Jake Amanu, who's all-conference linebacker. Nobody else, Power 5, wanted Noah Fifita, who's, you know, a top 10 Heisman preseason pick next year. You know, Takario Davis is a Pac-12 conference DB. That was his only, you know, Pac-12 Power 5 offer coming out of high school. They've done a phenomenal job with Ephesians Prysock. The offensive line is filled with guys that, you know, weren't heavily recruited. So, you know, I've heard some people say, you know, what's the big deal about Jed Fish? They had that one good year. You know, that one good year this past year was pretty dang good. And you can make a case, end of the season, nobody wants to play Arizona. You know, they were a top 10 team. And if they had Jed Fish and that staff back, they're a preseason top 10 team next year. They have 18 guys back. And mm-hmm. So I think you look at the culture of that Arizona program, and, you know, obviously I think a lot of Husky fans are probably disappointed that they weren't able to maybe pull in some of those guys from Arizona to come to Washington. But I think that you got to kind of credit Jed because they built such a family culture and a family environment at Arizona. That's a big reason why those guys decided to stay, because they kind of had this family bond. And yeah, even though that staff left, the players kind of said, hey, let's stay together. We can't all go. You know, I talked to Noah's dad for a long time. Noah Fifita, his dad Les. And, you know, one of the big reasons why, you know, the big three, Noah, T-Mac, and Manu stayed, was it wasn't just about those three. It's like, hey, if our whole team could have went, we would have went. But only about 8 or 9 of us, you know, we're going to go to Washington together. They were going to bring, we can't bring our whole team. And so they wanted to keep their team together. So I think you almost kind of credit Jed for kind of building that culture that ultimately prevented them from transferring.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
But again, credit him and credit the staff. And again, it's all about evaluation and development. Those are two things that people don't talk enough about when it comes to recruiting successfully.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the stars, and like you said, Greg, Fish and his staff brought in two of the best classes that Arizona's ever had. And so, you know, let's move forward, because I don't want to keep you too long. We've already done this once before. So, you know, Washington got some good news this week when a lot of their players started saying that they were going to be coming back instead of, you know, maybe a couple guys had gone into the portal and come back out. Several of them hadn't made a declaration one way or the other. Two of them that have decided to come back that are 2024 signees, guys who signed in December and actually enrolled right before Kalen DeBoer decided to leave and head to Alabama. Two of them were Demarcius Davis, the quarterback out of Etowanda, and Kamori House, linebacker out of St. John Bosco. Both of them entered the portal, still stayed in class at the University of Washington, but were just exploring their options. But both of those guys have decided to pledge to Washington that, hey, we're going to come and play. Demarcius Davis actually said he wants to compete for the job because they've already got Demond Williams from the same class as him. So just talk about those two and what kind of players Washington's getting in those two players.
Yeah, so Davis, you know, we call him Marmar. You know, he's got a game that I think stylistically he's similar to Aiden Childs. You know, everyone knows Aiden Childs from the year before. He kind of blew up, played at Downey High School, Oregon State, then transferred to Michigan State. But, you know, he's a tall, good, not great athlete, but, you know, real mobile kid, real loose athletic body, kind of like a small forward type bouncy body, but strong arm. And he's just getting better. You know, his game is trending up. So many quarterbacks in California, we see they kind of peak early. But Davis, man, he's only scratching the surface. He made a big jump between junior and senior year. Pure pocket guy with the strong arm, all the tools. And, you know, that was big because, you know, he went into the portal, I think, a day or two after Demond committed. So it's kind of like, you know, reading the tea leaves. It kind of looked like, okay, maybe he doesn't have a spot there, right? They brought in this guy, Demond, who committed to Jed Fish at Arizona. That meant Davis probably wasn't going to be coming back. And obviously, you know, Arizona was one of his finalists before he chose UW. He knew Jed Fish and he knew that staff. So for them to kind of bring him back shows that, hey, we need bodies. We want competition. And they needed some bodies in that quarterback room. So, you know, you can bring in two guys in one class and let them go compete. You know, House was an interesting situation because Arizona, the old Arizona staff now at UW, they didn't recruit him. So it wasn't he didn't have, like Davis, he didn't have those connections with anybody in the staff. So what he does have, he's a really good football player, right? So that helps you. You have a better chance of getting retained by a new staff if you're good at football. House is probably one of the most athletic linebackers. He can really run. Little undersized, about 6 feet, 210 pounds, but explosive hitter, loves to compete, high motor. So he goes into the portal, and then a couple of days later, I think he just wanted to see, hey, do you guys really want me? And they said, yeah, you know, you're part of our future. And so he didn't waste too much time, you know, kind of recommitting. And like I said, he's already on campus. He's already been, you know, acclimated to the school and the team and the training and all that. So, yeah, getting both those two guys back was pretty big.
Yeah, and a couple other guys from the same class, two of whom enrolled early, one who wasn't enrolled early, have entered the portal, and they have not pledged that they were going to come back. Ratu Manobulabalavu, we call him Mana for short. He's a defensive lineman out of Carlsbad down there in Southern California. Paki Finau, it's an offensive lineman. One of the, I think if he's not the top guy in the class, he's like the second best guy, or, you know, from a star standpoint, he's the second in the class from a star standpoint. And out of Oak, where I'm drawing a blank on the school, but
Oak Hills.
Oak Hills, that's what it is. Yeah, Oak Hills, and he's a guy that Washington wanted really bad. He's a highly rated kid, and he's still in the portal. And then Peyton Waters, a safety, could play some nickel corner as well, but he's also in the portal. And you also have a little bit of news on Justice Williams. I believe you talked to him today.
Correct. So we'll go down the list.
Okay.
Mana, I was a little bit surprised that he wanted to kind of open things up, and he's asking out of his NIL because again, Arizona is kind of similar to Davis. You know, Arizona was one of his runner-up choices. It was Washington, Arizona, Oregon State were kind of his final three, I believe. And so I kind of thought, hey, you know, that staff that you already knew and you're comfortable with, they're now at your school. You know, it just kind of makes sense to stick, but he wants to open it up a little bit. And again, he said they coaches staff has said, hey, we want you back. So I think he just wants to explore his options, but I would not be shocked at all if he does stay with UW. I'm a little surprised about Paki also. I talked to him at the Polynesian Bowl, and he told me straight up, hey, you know, I'm leaning towards staying here. Kept saying, hey, he signed to play for Scott Huff. Like, that's his guy. Scott Huff is at Alabama. I don't get an Alabama vibe from Paki. You know, most of the schools I think he's looking at now are, you know, ASU, BYU, Utah, UCLA, maybe a little bit of USC, Arizona. I don't see him going to Bama. So if
he's a West Coast kid. He's got that.
He is a West Coast kid. Yeah. He does have a West Coast vibe to him. You know, not a lot of Polynesians out there in the South, right? That's more of a West Coast Hawaii thing. So if he can't play for Scott Huff, you know, it seemed like it would make sense to stay at UW and play for a staff. Again, Arizona was his runner-up choice as well, right? Just like Mana. So he knows those guys. But, you know, right now, again, there's some buzz for ASU. You know, there's some buzz for BYU. So we'll see what happens there. Peyton Waters, you know, since we did our little thing this morning, Scott, I did text with him a little bit. I said, hey, what's your time frame? You taking trips? He said, no trips right now. I'm still trying to sort things out. I'm not there yet.
He's not even in the portal yet, right? Or is he in the portal?
Peyton is in the portal, yeah.
Oh, you're talking Peyton. I'm sorry. I thought we had moved to Justice. My bad. Sorry.
Peyton Waters is in the portal.
Okay.
So there's some Utah buzz with him. Mm-hmm. UCLA was a high choice. Stanford was a high choice for him. And then Justice told me he's good. He said he's good to go. He's locked in. You know, not an early enrollee, but he did sign. And he's not even thinking about any other school. He said he's locked in. He's going to Washington. So good, you know.
Yeah,
things good. Things look good with Justice right now.
Yeah, he was offered by Arizona, I believe, during the process. So he probably got to know Kevin Cummins pretty well. So, yep. All right. Well, hey, Greg, we've run through guys in the portal. That's frustrating to a lot of Husky fans, but I think you might have given them a little stuff to be excited about too. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Washington's newest commit, a 2025 quarterback that Greg is very high on, and maybe get an idea of some 2025 recruits that fans can keep an eye on. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, and welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. And Greg Biggins is joining us, 247's Greg Biggins. He's Greg, what's your actual title? Do you have a special title like Brandon Huffman, or are you just like the California guy? I don't know. West?
Yeah, I mean, the title's title's National Recruiting Analyst.
Okay.
You know, obviously, a little more geared toward West Coast. Whereas, you know, Huff, I think, is like the national, you know, recruiting director or something like crazy. Like, I mean, Huff's the guy, obviously, right? We're all,
yep.
You know, we're all just, you know,
we're all living world, in his world, right?
His yeah. World, man. We're just trying to live in it. We're trying to find a little spot in his world. So God bless Brandon Huffman. That's my guy right there. So no special titles, no special, you know, responsibilities like B Huff. Just trying to find my little spot, my little niche.
Hey, Greg, real quick, before we get into the commitment that Washington got from a top-end 2025 quarterback, talk a little bit about what do you like? So, because for me, one of my things that I love is being out on the road, seeing a kid that not very many people know about or talking about, and then going, this guy's going to be good, and then he turns out good. That's one of my favorite things to do. And the other thing that I like doing is meeting the parents, meeting the kids, getting to see them in competition, but also seeing how they interact with their friends. What is it that you enjoy about not just what we do, but what, I mean, you've been doing this for what, 25
yeah,
years now?
Yeah. So almost yeah, 30 coming up.
Yeah. So, and I'm at 21 years. So I've been doing a little bit less than you have, but you know, just what is it that you enjoy that keeps you coming back for more?
Oh man. I mean, I love I love football first off, right? It's a beautiful game. I know soccer is called the beautiful game, but for me, I love football. So shoot, man, it's an opportunity. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm wearing sweats. I'm wearing an LA Kings shirt, and this is, and right now I'm working, right? This is considered work. You know, you can travel, you get, I love the interaction as well. You know, I'm big on relationships and communication and, you know, building, you know, trust and friendships with, you know, different, you know, kids, parents, all that. I enjoy that. I like the evaluation part. I still, you know, recruiting has changed radically. Whereas before, you know, we were newsbreakers. Now the kids break their own news, right? When I first started, there was no such thing as Twitter or Instagram. You know, if you want to honor, this is going to age me, but when I first started back in 95, 96, you know, it was 900 numbers where if you want to know about Washington, you called 900, and there'd be a recording and it was $1.59 a minute. And somebody would talk about Washington Husky recruiting, right? And that's how you got your news on all the different schools. And now, and then there became, you know, websites. And now the kids kind of control the narrative. They put out when their trips are, they put out when they're committing. And now it's more your job to kind of maybe discuss why that commitment is a big deal. But you're not necessarily breaking as much news as before. But I still enjoy the chase. You know, like I said, I still enjoy building the relationships. You know, Dash Byerly, who I know we're going to get to. You know, the dad texts me, who I know really well. He says, hey, you know, Dash is going to, he's going to probably commit tonight or tomorrow. And then you're getting on the phone with Dash and you're getting, you know, hey, give me the who, what, why, when, and where, so that when you do commit, here's the story behind it. And then, you know, Dash commits, here comes the story. It just, that's still fun for me, you know, but I do enjoy going to different events. I love being away from family as much as I used to, because I have young kids in high school and all the ones are gone, but like, I do enjoy the road. I used to love, you know, back in the student sports, Nike camp days, man, going to a camp at LSU and meeting the coaches and talking to them and then seeing the weight room at Penn State and going to Texas A&M and going out in College Station. Like, I enjoyed that part of it. And so, yeah, man, it's just, I'm super blessed, man. God has been good. And, you know, I'm just super thankful to be, you know, do what I have done for such a long time.
Speaking of which, he talks about how his older ones are out. He's actually got one that he just gave away.
I did.
Yeah.
What gave her away?
Was it out? Was it in the summer?
It was summer?
October. Okay.
I think it was October 28th. And yeah, it was a radical, crazy situation. And so quick. So now they're moving quick. So they got married. And then like, we just had that, they had a gender reveal. She actually had I don't get too, you know, too personal, but yeah. So they end up having, she got pregnant on her honeymoon. So they had a gender reveal last week. And I'm like, you guys should wait at least 2 years. And she's like, okay. And so it ends up being like not even a year, but it's going to be a boy. So kind of excited about that. Right.
Oh, what are you going to be called? Are you going to be Papa? What are you going to be?
Just call me GB. I'll probably just call me GB. That's what everyone. Hey, I guess, you know, Grandpa Biggins could be GB at the same time. Right. So, you know, I got three daughters and one boy. We desperately want another boy in the family. My wife, had a total meltdown because she wanted a boy too. So, you know, we're very excited. So, yeah, things are moving quick.
By the way, we didn't talk about this on the first podcast. So,
no, this is more personal.
So you guys are getting more.
Hey, man, it's a Friday night. I'm chilling. Everyone's gone. I'm just chilling with the dog, watching some TV. So, man, we can go as long as you want. I got nothing going on tonight.
We don't need to do that. So I want to let you get going. But I do want to talk about Dash Byerly. You already kind of talked about him. Just talk about what he is as a quarterback. He committed to Washington, a couple days ago now. And, you know, that's a big pickup for Washington. They've already got one defensive line commit in the class, and they had two others in the 2025 recruiting class that have since decommitted. But what does Dash Byerly bring to the table?
Yeah, so he's a dual threat quarterback. 6'1", so not a super tall kid, you know, but he's not a small kid either. I mean, he's a thick kid. He's a former baseball player, catcher, and he's kind of has a catcher body, you know, real strong, physical. Like I mentioned, the dual threat capability. He can take off and run anytime. Plus athlete. I like the way he throws the football mechanically. I mean, he's pretty pure with it. Quick release, repeatable delivery. Arm is strong.
Hey, Greg, can you describe what repeatable delivery means?
Yeah, so I think it means, you know, mechanically, you want to try to do the same thing over and over and over again. You don't want to be like, okay, one time. And now, don't get me wrong, you do want a guy who can throw from different arm angles when he needs to. And he can do that too. He can go sidearm if he needs to. There's a guy, edge rusher, come off the edge. He can go sidearm. You know, he can off his back foot, off platform throws. He can make all those kind of throws. But in terms of the delivery, you see some kids, man, that every throw they make is different. Maybe one time their release point's up here, the next point, the release point's a little bit lower. Like, and because of that, you know, your ball's not going to be as accurate. You know, it's like a pitcher in baseball, right? You hear the term repeatable delivery describing a lot of pitchers. You want everything to be very similar so the ball comes out the same level, and that's where your accuracy comes from. So mechanically, I mean, you can watch him throw, man. He's like teaching tape. He's that pure with his mechanics. You're not going to have to spend a lot of time, you know, tightening his release. You know, some guys have a hitch, and that's so hard to get rid of. If you're a quarterback coach, so you want a guy to come in, you don't want to spend months trying to tweak a kid's delivery, because it's a learned trait, it's a learned habit already when he comes to you. So with Dash, you don't need to do a lot of tweaking with his mechanics. So I like that about him. I just like his makeup. You know, again, he's not an arrogant prima donna entitled quarterback. He's one of the guys. He's a tough kid. You know, he's, you know, a captain. He's the guy you want in your huddle. You know, he's a leader and just checks off all those boxes that you want to see in a quarterback.
And he's what, do you know what 7-on-7 team he's part of? I should have told you I was going to ask you this before.
No, so he's playing for Premium, and all those guys are going to Miami this weekend. But I think he just tweeted a couple days ago, or might even been today, that he's sick right now and won't be able to make that Miami trip. I think there's a big battle tournament in Florida this weekend. So, but yeah, he'll be playing for Premium, which is good, because that's one of the most talent-laden teams in Southern California. I mean, that's, you know, they got dudes every single year, and you can imagine there'll be plenty of Husky targets on that team. So
yeah,
it's good for him.
Is he a guy who has that kind of personality where he can recruit for you and really help bring guys in?
Yeah, you know, he's not a huge personality. You know, I don't want to oversell it. You know, he's not a guy who, you know, big rah-rah, you know, guy. That's not really his, you know, he's more very almost, he's not shy. But he's, you know, he's, I would say he's probably more introverted than an extrovert in terms of how he talks. You know, the first time I talked to him, you know, he struggled to, you know, couldn't look me in the eye. This was 2 years ago, but, you know, couldn't really look in the eye, a little bit shy, a little bit nervous. Right now, he's not like that anymore, but I'm just saying he's not a super big outgoing guy, but he's a very likable kid. So that's always very helpful.
Okay, very cool. And then just maybe some 2025 recruits. I'm not asking you to say, oh, who's going to pop next, Greg, or anything like that. Yeah. But more of just 2025 guys that fans might want to just keep an eye on. You know, when the first time we talked, you said you kind of cross-referenced the offers that Washington had already extended, and then ones that were extended when they were at Arizona.
Correct.
And said, hey, if they've offered both, there's a good chance they're probably reoffering those guys. And over the last, I want to say, 48 to 72 hours, Washington has reoffered and or offered a good 50 to 60 guys, it seems like. I mean, there's so many that we've been keeping track of. Might not be that much. I might have been overselling it a little bit, but they've offered quite a few guys. So like we've already kind of said, they're very aggressive on the recruiting trail. But just kind of talk about some guys that maybe fans want to keep an eye on, that were guys that, you know, could be guys that Washington gets looks from.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like dueling pianos, right? Washington. Mm-hmm. I thought Arizona gave out a ton of offers, and so did Cal. Like just every you know, couple seconds, you saw a kid, you know, tweeting out an offer from Washington, Arizona, or Cal. You know, so obviously start off with the in-state kids, right? So, you know, Zadrus Rainey-Sale was a Washington commit. You can bet that they'll be all over him to try to keep him. He's the number one player in the state. You know, both staffs, Arizona, Washington, had offered. You know, T'Andre Waverly, Jonathan Epperson, those are the top three kids in state, and they all had Arizona offers and Washington offers. So they'll go hard after them. You know, Arizona, you know, not a deep year for talent in Arizona, but, you know, the top two players in the state of Arizona, Cooper Perry and Logan Powell, a big tackle, both those two kids had Arizona and Washington offers. So they already had interest in Washington. They already knew the Arizona staff. So now Arizona staff is at Washington, so expect that connection to continue. And then with California kids, where they're going to recruit heavily, and obviously one thing we talked about earlier was how national, you know, I expect Washington to recruit from a national standpoint, not just out west, but, you know, they'll go all over if a kid shows interest in them. But, you know, a guy that we talked about, DeJuan Lee, his top two schools were Washington, Arizona, you know, not USC, that, you know, that was his childhood favorite school. Mm-hmm. But right now, top two schools for him were Washington and U of A. So I think he's going to still be a high priority. He's already been to both those schools and visited both of them and loves the staff. Darius Dixon, you know, Noah McHale will be a priority. You know, look for, you know, guys like Matt and Faramo, offered by both to be a high priority. You know, there'll be a lot of guys right now. I think it's still, you know, it's still early in there. It's, you know, like they still have so much time to go. But, you know, those are just a few names I'd keep an eye on if you're a UW fan.
Okay. Very cool, Greg. Well, hey, thank you so much for doing this again. It has said recording the whole time that we've been talking. So, we're just going to assume that this is done. If not, Greg will kill me.
Yeah, we will not record a third. This is two and out, baby.
Yeah, two
and
done.
This is it.
Two and done.
Two and done.
So, hey, Greg, we just really appreciate everything that you do for us, keeping us all in the loop on a lot of different guys. We will definitely do this again post signing day, and maybe as we get closer to spring ball when we've had a chance to get out to some 7-on-7 tournaments and see some guys that are emerging. All right.
Sounds good. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Greg. We're going to call it quits on this episode of Dogman Radio. Tune back in for our next episode. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.